Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once and for all, handed down to the saints. Well, as always, Bob, it's great to be with you here in studio as we're talking about these doctrines and eschatology out of Matthew 24.
Yes, amen. And last week we talked about verses 22 and 23. Now, let me read 24 and 25. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance.
Wow. What's so interesting, Bob, is a lot of people in evangelicalism today place all of these things within the church age. And you and I would be quick to affirm, certainly there are false prophets and many during the church age that we're living in.
Oh, yeah.
But we've made the case and will continue to do so that Jesus here is describing what occurs within the last 7 years, the 70th week of Daniel. And we have some evidence of these false Christs and false prophets on the scene. For example, in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
And one passage that we see this in particular is in Revelation 17, where you have this allegiance given to by these 10 horns, these 10 kings. They are also considered false Christs. They are also rebelling against the Lamb, but they give their power and authority to the beast. In fact, let me just read that to the listener. And this is in Revelation 17. This is verse 12. It says, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Now, let me just stop there real quickly. It's interesting here. John doesn't let us wonder what the horns are. He tells us. And that's one of the important things about the book of Revelation. It's a prophecy where anytime you have imagery or symbolism, the symbol is given to you either by John himself or he alludes to an Old Testament passage that explains it.
I heard you talk about that in Sunday school.
Yeah.
So that would make us wonder why some people say, well, it's all symbolic.
Right, exactly.
But if there is a symbol, John tells us what it is and what it means.
Exactly.
Well, so now we know.
Exactly. Like in Revelation 12, he talks about the dragon, and he just simply states, this is Satan. He just tells us, we don't have to wonder who the dragon is. He just tells us, or the lampstands. These are the, you know, the seven churches, et cetera, et cetera. So he just gives us what the imagery is. So here he continues, the 10 horns again, he says, are 10 kings who have not received yet a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Now, that with the beast is very important. They are with him. So this isn't just then one beast. In a sense, you have 10 others with him that are all false Christs. They are all part of this Babylon that is trying to usurp and replace Yahweh. In fact, it continues in verse 13. It says, these have one purpose, that they give their power and authority to the beast. And then verse 14, it says, these will wage war against the Lamb. Now, stop there. Who's the Lamb? Well, that's Christ. So now you have these multiple 10 and the beast all against Christ. And very interestingly, it says, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So my point in pointing this out to the listener is simply to show that there are many false Christs, not just one in the 70th week. There are many false prophets that are all part of Babylon.
Now, we've said before, just by way of reminder to our listeners, this doesn't mean that these principles and ideas aren't already out there.
That's right.
And we're not just making that up.
That's right.
John himself in 1 John said that.
Absolutely.
He said, you've heard Antichrist is coming.
Yes.
But he said, Antichrist, many Antichrists are already
exactly
in the world. So the Bible's not confusing us, it's explaining it.
Exactly.
So we are facing these things.
Yes.
And we are not saying that because we're premillennialists and we believe in literal Bible prophecy, that we're not facing similar things now.
Yeah.
Not as intense.
Right.
But as real.
Yep.
There are false signs and wonders.
Yes.
There are false teachers and false prophets.
Absolutely.
And the word Christ, we have to keep reminding everyone, means anointed one.
Yes.
And in the early 90s, I wrote an article about false anointed ones.
Yeah, amen.
And how all Christians are anointed.
Yeah.
The anointed one is Christ.
Right.
But we have these people parading themselves around the world saying, come here, the great anointed man of God
right.
who does miracles.
Yeah.
Come to our miracle meeting. And so they claim to have been to heaven. They claim to do greater miracles than Jesus did.
Right.
They do.
Yes.
I've written about this.
Amen.
And they claim to be the anointed one. Well, here we have false Christ, false prophets, trying to mislead the elect.
Yeah.
Rather than pointing to the true sign that's
right.
going to cause everyone to be faced with a decision
yes.
whether they're going to believe the truth or the lie.
Yeah.
And the sign is the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Every sermon in the book of Acts, I was just working on
yeah.
another one of my teachings from the book of Acts for Sunday school.
Right.
Again, it's about the resurrection.
Yeah, amen.
That is the sign.
Right.
Okay, so if you don't like that one,
yeah,
and you're looking for something else, we have false Christ claiming they're raising the dead, even though it doesn't really happen.
Right.
But there isn't any claim so bizarre or outlandish that they won't make it.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so don't be deceived.
Yeah.
But just like everything else, there's been wars, and we talked about that, the Second Reich, the Third Reich, World War I, World War II.
Right.
Many other wars. None of this is as bad as what's going to happen after the rapture during those 7 years
Absolutely.
Of the tribulation.
Absolutely.
But the roots of prophecy are already in history.
Amen.
And we see this even in the Old and New Testaments.
Well said. You know, Bob, one of the false signs that are going to be given, as Jesus alludes to, signs and wonders, one of the coup de grace that Antichrist does is his own pseudo-resurrection in Revelation 13. And what's very interesting is you're given an indication that this Antichrist is one who comes up out of the abyss after his pseudo-resurrection. So he's indwelt, in a sense, by Satan himself. So if we think about Christ, the true Christ, he is God incarnate. It's God coming down in flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But in a sense, you have this Antichrist. The irony is he's not coming from heaven. He's coming from the abyss.
He's coming out of hell.
He's coming out of hell. And that's the image that the writer John, inspired by the Spirit, gives us out of Revelation 13. So the idea then is you have this false prophet with the false Antichrist who are deceiving people through these false signs and wonders. Well, what does that leave us with? Well, what are Christians to do during that time period? Well, even back in the Old Testament, there were two tests that were given to determine a false prophet from a true one. One was a test about if they claimed something that was going to come about. If it did not come about, in other words, the prophecy was deemed to be false because it didn't happen, then they were judged to be a false prophet. Well, there was also a theological test, and that theological test we see in Deuteronomy 13, where if, in fact, they even said something that came true, but they led people astray from Yahweh, well, then they were also to be rejected. Well, here, that's what the test is, I think, in the last 7 years. Even though these miraculous things are seemingly occurring, these are obviously not teaching the doctrines of Yahweh, the doctrines of Jesus Christ. It's a false gospel. So the theological test is not passed, and that's why Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says that they do signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Notice now, for the listener's sake, that the elect really cannot ever be completely deceived. That's why he says, if possible. Why? Because God preserves his elect.
So we have a false, fake resurrection.
Yeah.
That comes right out of hell.
That's right.
To convince everybody the Antichrist is really the Christ.
Right, right.
It's not the first time in Revelation anything came out of the abyss.
Exactly.
Didn't that happen in Revelation 9, I think?
Exactly. The fifth trumpet, you have all of these demonic beings coming out of the abyss. And it's what you had pointed out last time, Bob. The world is finally given what they want. They always wanted this tangible contact.
Yeah, they want to interact with the world of the spirits.
Exactly.
And right now, it's not so easy. They got to have shamans.
Yeah.
And witch doctors and gurus and people that are trying to get in contact with the spirits.
That's right.
Okay. And they got techniques to do it, but they're very limited in how well they can do it. It's not all that tangible.
Right.
They try to make it tangible, like with their Ouija board, or they're throwing some bones of a chicken and seeing what they look like. And examining livers.
Yeah.
There's all these ways of doing divination.
Yes.
But they want more.
Absolutely.
And so they're a little bit limited.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is when they get more, as in Revelation 9, it's going to be horrible. They're going to bite people. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
But you know what happens as you go through that? I think I wrote an article about this. After how horrible it was.
Yeah.
Then toward the end of the chapter, it says, and they did not repent.
Right. They still wouldn't repent.
Of their sorceries and abomination.
Wow.
There's such a lust for tangible interaction with the world of the spirits and the demons.
Right.
I get emails about this constantly.
Yeah.
People are looking for somebody to cast out the demons. And they want it.
Right, right.
And I tell them, no, go to Christ and get out of the realm of the spirits.
Yes.
And be directly under Christ. They say, well, I've got some bad symptoms that maybe are demonic. I want to make sure they go away. And I said, well, listen, if you go to Christ and he promises you access to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
And that he hears you and they'll give you grace and timely help. Hebrews 4:16.
Amen.
You got 2 Corinthians 12 where Paul
He prayed.
Had a thorn in the flesh. Messenger from Satan. Yep. He went to God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And God said, well, you can keep it because you'll be better off.
Right. To humble them,
I've actually had people email me and won't accept that answer.
Yeah, that's
And they
sad.
Say, well, one guy said, I still think, I want something that's going to work. And there's this one guy that'll break curses for like $600, which was a bargain compared to a lot of the shamans out there.
Right.
The guy claiming to be a Christian minister.
Wow.
And so the guy went, spent his $600, and he came back. He said, well, nothing changed. That didn't work.
Oh, my goodness.
And people are losing their money.
Yeah.
Trying to get this to happen when they could go to Christ.
Yes.
Receive the gift of salvation, which is free.
Yeah.
They say they're Christian. Well, then believe the promises of God.
Amen.
And am I naive to think that God would not allow Satan to do any more to me but what is going to ultimately be for my good,
right?
So I might be conformed to the image of Christ?
Yes.
Can I trust God who loves me and cares for me and follow the means that he has given? If I'm sick, I go to the elders. They pray for me. The church prays. We put everything before God at the throne. Would you rather find a witch doctor who can break curses?
Right, right. That's so good.
So something's seriously wrong. If you think you've got a better chance with the Christianized guru who interacts with the spirits,
right,
that's just rank unbelief.
It is. It's just simply discarding the sufficiency of Christ.
You don't think God's going to do what he said,
right,
or that he'll take care of you. And I've had people that are saying, I'm not Christians, and I'm looking for somebody who's an exorcist.
Yeah.
And I tell them about Colossians 1:13-14.
Right, the domain transfer.
Acts 26:18.
Yes.
They said, it's a bunch of you know what. And I still want some help. I think I'll go look somewhere else.
Wow.
Well, that's all you got is somewhere else because what we have is the gospel.
Amen. That's what we need.
And so, listeners, we've got false Christ, false prophets. Now, it's going to be way worse, as Eric read out of the book of Revelation.
That's right.
Okay. Signs and wonders. They'll lay sure claim them.
That's right.
I get their emails.
Yep.
And they're saying they have signs and wonders meetings. You can get an online course.
Yeah.
They'll teach you how to visit the third heaven.
Right, right.
Somebody sent me that link.
Yes.
Well, that'll do you a lot of good.
Yep.
Because you don't want to believe what God said in the Bible.
Right.
And then it says, we've already been told, don't believe them, but people do anyhow.
Exactly. Yeah, they still do.
To mislead, if possible, even the elect. Who's the target?
Right.
Well, now it's the elect, and what will it be during the tribulation after the rapture? Many people will be saved. They'll be targeted under even more intense attack.
Absolutely. Now, you know what's interesting, Bob, too, with this warning that Jesus is giving? You know, Paul gives the same warning And one thing that you and I have pointed out earlier is in 1 Thessalonians 5, for example, when Paul talks about eschatology, he borrows 10 terms directly from Jesus' Olivet Discourse. Well, in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul talks about this lawless one who sets himself up in the temple. And in verse 8, Paul says, "Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders." And again, that's an allusion to his false resurrection, etc. Verse 10, it says, "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive a love for the truth so as to be saved."
Yeah, the word "receive" there is dekomai, means welcome.
To welcome like you would a family member, that kind of love and welcoming.
Yep.
You know, Bob, what's so beautiful about this is think about the Christian now. And many people say, "Well, boy, I hope I'm not deceived." Well, you won't be, dear brothers and sisters. Listen carefully. These Christians who live during the 70th week, who are true believers, who have a love for the truth, they're going to know this Antichrist is a $3 bill. How will they know that? Because they know that Jesus Christ died once and for all. He didn't die again. Bob has taught this numerous times in the book of Hebrews because the theme comes up. The term is hapax in the Greek. The idea that Jesus did once and for all means it's not going to occur again. So the Christian who has a love for the truth will know, wait a minute, Jesus did all this. He's not going to die again.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's not going to be another resurrection. We don't have to be deceived.
Get your computer concordance out and look up "once for all."
Absolutely.
In the New Testament.
That's right.
The faith is once for all handed down to the saints.
That's right.
We have everything we need. Talking about this, really, doesn't it boil down, Eric, to who speaks bindingly for God?
Absolutely.
Let me read the next verse, and then we can talk about that.
Absolutely.
"Behold, I have told you in advance."
Wow.
Jesus told us.
Right.
Now, we believe that his words come to us through his authoritative apostles and prophets.
Amen.
He's the cornerstone. That's Ephesians. Foundation of the church.
And you were just teaching this in your studies.
I've been preaching through Ephesians and talking about that.
Yeah.
But there's always other people who claim they're the ones who speak for God.
Right.
Just today I was reading in Jude, and I came across something that I think might be pertinent. I want to...
Oh, yeah.
Let me read it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we'll talk about it. Talks about... to mislead, if possible, even the elect. So the same principle is going on now. It'll intensify.
Right, exactly.
So in the book of Jude, there's a greater to lesser argument. Remember, Michael didn't dare pronounce railing against even the devil, but said, "The Lord rebuke you."
Yes.
Remember what I was just talking about?
Yeah, boundary crossing.
Yeah. Go to God. Let him deal with it. He's in charge of all the spirits, including the evil ones.
Right. Go to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of Christians who are functional Manichaean dualists.
Yes, they are.
I see them on TV, and they're trying to be sincere.
Yeah.
I heard one famous guy say, "Well, God's in charge of all the good things that happen, and the devil's in charge of all the bad things."
Right. How evil is that?
Well, that's the old Manichaean dualism.
That's right. That there's this evil world.
There's like these two principles that are fighting it out.
It's like Star Wars.
Yeah, and you don't have God in charge of all things.
Exactly.
And so if you think you want to believe that, I would challenge you to this. Look up all things statements in the New Testament.
Exactly.
And see if you think they're literal or not.
Amen.
Most of the time they are.
That's right.
The Greek, the all.
Yes.
There's a definite article there, the all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the Lord rebuke you. But let's look at verse 10 of Jude. There's only one chapter. "But these men revile the things they do not understand." So they think as long as they're saying bad things about the devil, they're safe. But verse 9 said, that's not your business.
Exactly. They don't have the authority to do that.
We're not here to decide how the cosmic furniture should be arranged.
Exactly.
Having to beings we can't even see. It's not our domain. And Eric and I have pointed out a lot that the restraint, God is the restrainer using human civil governments.
Amen.
So we don't want to directly have to deal with the spirit beings.
Right.
We're not denying their existence.
Exactly.
We're saying that God appoints human rulers, and how the level beyond them in the world of spirits It's not our domain to run it.
Right.
Just
well
read
said.
This.
Absolutely.
But here we have meetings where Christians are casting down the spirit over America or the spirit over the state of Minnesota or whatever you may be or over the city. I was at meetings like that in the 70s.
Yeah, it's wicked.
If anybody ever understood Jude, they'd never do it again.
Exactly. People who are doing that are trying to usurp God's unique role and authority.
It's not your business.
Right.
Why do you think it's a lesser thing to have direct access to the throne of grace, to the creator of the universe who loves you, and he says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. I get so many emails from people who think that when I say that, it's a cop-out.
Wow, that's sad, isn't it? Yeah, that's
going
the greatest
to
news ever.
God in faith is a cop-out.
Wow.
But talking to devils and demons is faith?
Yeah, well said.
Well, let's just see what it says.
Yeah.
They revile things they don't understand. You know why? We're not in that realm.
Right, we can't understand.
They're saying, you got to learn the name of the demon. Well, how do you know the name of the demon? Right. Well, we make them tell us. Yeah, but they're deceiving spirits, so how do you know they're not telling you a false name?
Exactly. There's no way to verify.
And you're just reiterating a pagan idea that if you know the name of a spirit, you can have authority.
You can adjure them, right.
And we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so good.
Right.
And so we're repeating pagan ideas.
Exactly.
Rather than believing exactly what God said,
amen.
And staying in our domain.
That's
back
right.
To Jude. We don't understand. That's why we leave it to God.
Yeah.
And these things which they know by instinct.
Wow.
Okay, so we go into the realm of the spirit.
Yeah.
We are like beasts trying to live by instinct.
Right.
In the world where we're supposed to be rational human beings in the domain God put us.
Right.
So, us going into the world of spirits would be like instinctive beasts trying to run the government.
Exactly. That's powerful, Bob, the way you put that. Yeah.
It's domain crossing.
Absolutely.
It's not understanding the order of being that we are. We are human beings created in God's image, whom God put over the beast.
That's
Genesis
right.
Genesis 2, talk about names denoting authority. Adam named the animals.
Right, right.
So you have authority over the beasts.
Yeah.
But you don't have authority over the realm of the spirits.
Right, because we don't have any cognitive, objective
and they
knowledge.
They say, oh, no, but the disciples cast out demons to prove that Jesus was on the scene of history and appointed them.
Exactly.
And that you could get out.
Absolutely.
And that's the gospel. You get out through the gospel.
In fact, Bob, what's interesting about that is when they relied upon their own power, in Mark 9 they failed. And Jesus says these only come out by prayer. In other words, they were relying upon themselves rather than Christ.
Go to God. Let him deal with it.
Exactly.
Okay, so like unreasoning animals, by these they are destroyed. You go into the realm of the spirits, it's bad.
It is.
Now, we're talking about Daniel's 70th week.
Yep.
What happens? Well, the spirits are actually unleashed onto the earth.
Tangibility, once
again. Where people have tangible interaction.
Yes.
And if you think that would be a good thing, I challenge you to go read Revelation 9.
Absolutely.
And see what happens.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
No.
Yeah, you know, Bob, in further corroboration of what you're reading here in Jude, is this is the precedent that was set in Job. God was the one who allowed Job.
That's a biblical worldview.
Exactly. 1 Kings 22, he's the one who allowed Ahab to be enticed by
Job
the spirits.
Job chapter 1.
Absolutely.
See, a lot of Christians don't like certain things, and they let their romantic, idealistic feelings about how they wish things were to determine what they're willing to believe.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that leads to deception. We've been talking about that.
Absolutely. Because
Jesus said here in our passage, 24, 25, Matthew, I've told you in advance, with real words, with real meaning, he's the one who speaks. And I'll read a little more in Jude.
Yes.
So here they didn't like their domain. They wanted to go into the realm of the spirits.
Right.
And in that realm, they're no more than instinctive beasts.
Yes.
They don't even know what they're dealing with.
Right.
The spirits win, you lose.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 11. Woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain, and for pay they've rushed headlong into the air of Balaam and perished with the rebellion of Korah. What's true about Cain, Balaam, and Korah?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, none of them would accept what God said
Yes.
And how he chose to deal with humans.
That's right.
Cain didn't like that God accepted Abel's offering.
Right, right.
Okay. And wouldn't accept God's answer about how to get right.
That's right.
How to repent.
Right.
So they wouldn't listen to what God said. God tangibly spoke right there.
Absolutely.
So he knew what was being said.
Yep.
Just didn't like it.
Right.
So he said, I'll go kill Abel because God was pleased with Abel.
Yes.
And he doesn't like it. Cain doesn't like how God deals with people. Let's go to Balaam. Balaam, whose name means not of the people, he was hired by a dignitary.
Yeah, Moabite king.
To curse Israel.
Right.
What's going on again? Again, they don't like how God runs his own universe.
That's right.
God chose Israel to be the bearers of the seed promise.
Yes.
And to bring forth the Messiah.
Yeah.
And Balaam would rather have money.
Yeah.
And curse Israel.
Yep.
But there's a lesson in the story of Balaam. I think I wrote about that too one time, but in a CIC article. The Holy Spirit actually came on Balaam.
Yeah, he couldn't curse Israel.
And he started blessing Israel.
Yeah, he only could bless
him. Because the Holy Spirit confesses Christ.
Absolutely.
Israel is the bearer,
that's
ultimately,
right,
of the Christ. So Cain rejected how God chose to work.
Yes.
Through Abel.
Yeah.
Balaam wanted to curse Israel. He just couldn't get the job done.
Right.
Later, he figured out a better way, seduce them with women.
Moabite women, right, yeah. Exactly.
He counseled them, well, I know how to do it, get them to curse themselves.
Yeah, exactly,
and so Balaam wouldn't listen to how God wanted to run his universe.
Right.
And now you have Korah.
He wouldn't accept Moses that God speaks through him.
He wouldn't accept that God chose to speak to Moses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So wow, good analogy.
It's horrible
when
you say, I won't accept how God has chosen to speak.
Right, right.
And so here, Matthew 24:25, behold, I've told you in advance.
Yeah.
And so, dear listeners, here's the challenge. Are we going to allow God to speak through whom he's chosen to speak with words? Just like on Sinai,
right?
God spoke words to Moses. Korah didn't like it,
right?
But that wasn't good for Korah,
right?
They're meaningful to God. There's valid communication, and we know what God said,
yeah,
which was the old covenant epitomized in the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Then we have Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.
Yeah.
Jesus appointed apostles. Sent forth apostles and prophets, the foundation of the church, and he has spoken once for all.
Amen.
Okay, so he told us in advance what to listen to. Maybe some highfalutin theologian said, you can skip most of what Jesus said because it's future and we don't believe any of that, or we don't care about it, or it's all allegorical, or it doesn't mean what it says.
Yeah.
I would be scared to do that.
Right, absolutely.
I don't know where the fear of God went.
Yeah.
How dare you say Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about? They say, oh, no. That's our tradition. We're not saying that. It's just all happened in 70 AD, or you can't tell you these things literal. Nobody's ever been able to figure it out.
Right.
All these things are being said. That could be very, very bad.
Absolutely. Rejecting God's authoritative and ordained lawgiver.
You could just as easily say Christ and his apostles were going off the printed page or whatever in the wrong way when they found all these verses that applied to Christ in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
They used Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 and Isaiah 53 and Psalm 46 again and again and again. I will raise up a prophet like me.
Yes.
When you come to listen to him, Moses on Transfiguration. Moses was on Sinai. He was at both places.
That's right.
And he disappears and God from heaven speaks directly. This is my Son. Listen to him. Dear listeners, to whom are you listening?
Yes.
The false prophets, the false Christ. They're not false Christ. They're just anointed men of God. Well, Christ means the anointed one.
Right.
So they're anointed. You're not. You got to listen to them. Otherwise, you don't know.
Yeah.
The false people, like Jude warns about, that are going into the realm of the spirits.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to do all these things. There's a course you can take on how to go into the third heaven.
Yeah.
Is God allowing you to do that?
Wow.
you'll be deceived.
Right, that's right.
And so we must pay attention. Jesus said, behold, I told you in advance.
Absolutely.
The only way that's going to help anybody is if we take it literally for what it says and compare scripture to scripture.
Absolutely.
As we've been trying to help you do here.
Amen.
So we know what God said.
Amen. Well said. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Well, Bob, it was a real pleasure again discussing these issues in eschatology and really looking to rely upon Christ's Word alone.
I love doing this. I love digging into the Word of God.
Me too. Amen. We want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.